From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in New York, and Corey joins us live from his hotel room in L.A., and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we bask in the glow of the burning embers from the remains of a team owned by Jerry Jones. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Christian 3 TD Watson.
We got the bad. We got
that horrific 2-minute drill.
We got the ugly. We got
Amari Rodgers fumbling not only the possibility of the game away, but also apparently his Packers career, as he has now left Green Bay. Adieu, Amari. Better luck at your future endeavors. Tough gig. Tough gig right there. But not tough for one Corey Banky. How are you, Banky? How's LA treating you?
Doing okay. You know, trying to make do with this background. I didn't want it to make it look like a hotel. I wanted to kind of give you the vibe of California, but I don't think I did that very well. I need a light. But I'm feeling good. I don't know who in the heck, okay, in conference land for broadcasters thought that the time in between the Packer games was the right time to have this conference. So I'm a little bit upset about it, I'm going to be honest with
they
you.
They knew. The one week the Packers had two games in 5 days, it was like, let's do it right then. There you go.
I'm living through it. I'm really excited to get back tomorrow for the game. It's going to be an incredible night at Lambeau. Looks like it's going to be in the teens with the wind chill, which is, let's watch that weather.
Cold,
holy
baby.
Moly.
It's going to be a cold one. But as Corey just said, he will be back for the game. So if you guys are around, if you're in Green Bay, if you're going to the game, make sure you stop by the Plaza Pit Stop there at the Rush Center. Get some Carry the G. It'll be on hand. Corey will be there. It'll be a lot of fun. Normally we say about 3 hours before kickoff, but I'm thinking, Corey, it's going to be a little later than that for you this time around. Is that
right? Yeah, I'm gonna do the best I can. My flight lands, and barring, you know, you can't make any promises these days with travel.
Knock on all the wood.
That's the goal, Nagler. That's the goal. And then, you know, it's been a crazy week in Wisconsin. We got Startup Week Wisconsin, so a lot of things going on. And the Packers, crap, what is going on with the Packers in 3 days? It's been like a week. Besides the win, though, I feel like things that are going on with the Packers right now, it already feels like a week has passed since that game, and that was only 3 days ago. It's insane.
Totally agree, and that brings us to the hotness, because, you know, before we get to all the things happening, which is, you know, the news and all of the elements that have gone into what you're talking about there, we want to talk about something that happened, and there were so many things to choose from in this game, but ultimately this was my favorite, and I'm the final arbiter. I get final say, so I picked this one. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the hotness. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, there were plenty of things you could choose from. I mean, from Aaron Jones going full Marshawn Lynch to Christian Watson's first bomb touchdown, there were so many choices, but I went with this because, to me, this is probably the most sophisticated play slash route running, catching the ball, getting in the end zone. All of this from Christian Watson was hot. Let's take a look at this, Nicholas. Look at this release off the line. Got the bunch set. Switch release. Look, that cut right there. Are you kidding me? And the way, we're going to watch it again, the way he gets up on the corner and then he's even, he's leaving. Just gone. Ladies and gentlemen, that is hot. You are. I mean, it's burning. It's burning me up. It's so hot. So that's our hotness for this week. And like I said, I know there were many choices, but damn, that's a hot route. I love it. I Love it. But let's get to some Packers news. As Corey indicated, a lot has happened. First up, Randall Cobb designated to return off IR. I know they have not made an official announcement, but it's going to happen, people. Just be patient. Randall Cobb will be back for this Tennessee game. Then we do have Kylan Hill and Amari Rodgers being released. The Amari Rodgers move, probably not surprising. The Kylan Hill, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise. It certainly not shocked me, but did surprise me when I saw his name attached to that release. Yeah, one carry for 7 yards in the game.
Well, on the Kylan Hill tip, apparently it had nothing to do with production. If you read between all the things that have been going on, apparently he was kind of unsatisfied with being number three. So,
that was kind of the vibe I got off Matt, and I'm like, really? Are you thinking you should be getting carries over AJ Dillon? Is that your tip? Like, what?
Yeah, like
I can't fathom the headspace.
Are you delusional? Yeah.
Right?
And then the Amari Rodgers, I agree with a lot of the sentiments. I just feel like they never really tried to find the role that that guy could be. And
totally agree.
I know they got Cobb, and a lot of people are like, well, they got Cobb. But it's like, really? Like it's one of those things where it's like, did you do all the things as a leader that you needed to put people in the right position to win? And this isn't an indictment on Matt or Brian or Mark. In this particular case, but it just feels like they didn't spend enough time especially based on what they invested, right? And what they thought this guy was going to be. And so it just feels a little bit disappointing.
In the third
like
round.
I just really feel, yeah, I don't I'm think he's going to be Micah Hyde or anything like that, but like he could be. Like that guy is more than likely, there's a really high probability he's going to succeed somewhere else in the NFL in a team that gives him the right tools to succeed.
Well, what's unfortunate is that because it's past the trade deadline, so he's subjected to waivers, and the Texans picked him up. It's like, oh God, talk about going into like purgatory for your NFL career. But maybe it does give him an opportunity to get on the field, showcase what he can do a little bit more than he was allowed to in Green Bay. You know, he is only 2 years in the league. He's got two more years left on his contract, so that's probably what made him so kind of attractive. I'm sure Houston probably wasn't the only team that put in a claim. You know, so they've got control of him for the next 2 years. Hopefully he can build a little bit of tape, resume, and then, you know, hit free agency and you know, just keep developing, get a chance in the NFL, because I'm with you, Corey. I think they didn't do a very good job. And I know it's a very unique and unusual situation, given that Aaron Rodgers did come back after his summer of discontent and demanded they trade for Cobb, which they did. And I get it, man. They wanted to placate their superstar, and they did. And look, I think Cobb's been really good when he's on the field. You know, he's been a boon to the wide receiver group. So I'm not knocking that either. But it's just unfortunate for Amari. Like, it's just that he's caught in a bad moment there. And I really do hope he kind of, you know, gets a chance down in Houston. The other things we are finding out this week, Patrick Taylor signed to the 53-man roster, obviously to take the spot previously occupied by Kylan Hill. Patrick's, you know, he's done it at least. He's got some regular season carries. He knows the offense. You like the idea of him being out there if something were to happen to the other two. And he's not going to apparently bitch about his spot on the depth chart.
Well, and also Packers, he's had two consecutive good training camps, right? So
yes. Very true. Very, very true. And, you
like,
know,
really
and,
good
like,
training camps where he's the guy, you know, they're handing off to him all the time. He's really reliable, consistent.
And where he really kind of probably has the edge over Goodson, the other running back on the practice squad, is in pass protection. You know, like he will step in there and take on a blitzing linebacker and stone him, which obviously if you are going to be called upon when Aaron Rodgers is out there, you got to do it. Practice squad, you love the practice squad, although it feels like the practice squad is not the kind of afterthought it used to be, because practice squad guys get called up for game day now all the time. And the Packers have signed D.D. Westbrook, who, you know, wide receiver, very fast, electric kind of punt returner slash wide receiver. Clearly the Packers are thinking punt return here. We'll see if he's out there tomorrow night. We'll see if they bring him up from the practice squad, but that's an intriguing signing. You got to think when they made the Amari move, they had this in mind to get him out there although I don't think it's a done deal. I know Matt said they were going to be going through stuff at Lambeau Field today in regards to the kicking game, including punt return. And they'll undoubtedly see how he looks, and if they think he's ready, they'll bring him up tomorrow. But, yeah, I like the signing. I think it makes a world of sense. It's really unfortunate that Amari had to lose his job for it. But, I mean, hell, if the Packers can field a fucking punt and not give the opponent, you know, the ball on their own end, I'm all for it. I'm all in on it. And the final piece of Packers news, I mean, this is just great. Friend of show, been a guest twice here on Packer Transplants. Leroy Butler, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, is going to be honored at halftime, the game tomorrow night. His name is going to be up on the facade along with all the other Pro Football Hall of Famers. 36, immortalized at Lambeau Field. You absolutely love to see it. Hate that it took so long, but I love that it's happening.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff.
He's our guy. Love Leroy. Love Leroy. And I love that, you know, there's going to be a moment just for him. It's just great. Okay, let's talk about this game. Let's talk about this win over Dallas. I'm still marinating in it. It's kind of great because Wednesday is usually the day that we, here on Transplants, you know, we talk about the game that just happened. We break it down, and then we turn the page and get ready for, like, the second half of the week, right, leading up to Sunday's game. But today we get to, like, just marinate in fucking killing the Cowboys, and then the game's tomorrow. I love that. I love it.
It's crazy.
I love everything about it. But here's the fun thing about that game against the Cowboys. There's the running game. There it is. Hey. Wow. Hey,
incredible.
There's the running game. I absolutely love the Packers leaned into the running game against this team. And I know it was funny because Fox put up their little graphic, you know, how the Cowboys defense was, quote, ranked 24th, which is all well and good. A lot of that is cheap yardage, because if you turn around and look at Football Outsiders and DVOA, the Cowboys were the 9th ranked defense by DVOA coming into this game. And the Packers ran all over them. Mike McCarthy answering questions down in Dallas today about the production that the Packers had on the ground. And look, I love this trend around the league. I hate that it took the Packers pretty much half a season to get around to it, but this is where the NFL is right now because of the kind of proliferation of, you know, one, on one side of the ball, the Shanahan offense, but, you know, on the other side of the ball, the Vic Fangio style of defense with these two high safety looks, a lot of shell coverage. Teams have started to run the ball because it's much more difficult nowadays to try and generate explosive plays because teams are playing everything deep, trying to take away everything, shot play, you know, extended plays, etc. They're trying to keep everything in front of them so much too high. So teams have started to run the fucking ball, which, you know, to Aaron Rodgers' credit, he mentioned this going in, I think it was week 3 this year. You know, like, teams could probably potentially start running the ball more because there's so much too high being played. And so they talked about this actually today, this morning, I believe, on Get Up on ESPN. And the whole extended kind of conversation, they had a whole bunch of people, Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, a lot of people were chiming in, including Mina Kimes. And I absolutely love this because this is what I have been screaming about all year long. And I know people may find it buffoonish. Some people may think it's a little
buffoonish, yeah.
But
buffoonish.
But this is what I've been talking about. When anybody who's been on watch party knows, like, these zone runs out of shotgun have been sucking the life out of me. Like, they've been draining my will to live. But the power runs, the angle blocking, the counters, this is the thing that I've been begging them to lean into. And they finally started doing that a couple weeks ago in Buffalo. It absolutely made its return against the Cowboys, and I really hope they continue to lean into it because look at this from Mina. This is great stuff.
What has changed dramatically, and this is what I think is a pretty big factor, is the types of runs we are seeing on early downs. League-wide, so far this season, outside zone, inside zone are down. Gap runs are up. And not only are they up, guys, they are way more productive on early downs. Look at those numbers on power and counter. And if you don't like yards per carry, success rate is also way up.
For those of you listening later who can't see the video, power and counter are both up over a yard.
Over a yard, yeah.
In average. Comparative to the last 2 years. The last 2 years, it's like seen, oh, hey, look, we're going to play this too high shell. Teams have finally started to say, okay, we're going to pound the fucking rock. If you're averaging, they're averaging across the league, just talking teams in general, over 5 yards per carry early you're downs winning. When using power and counter.
You just won
that's
the
a
down.
Total win for the offense. I mean, you talk about you want to stay ahead of the sticks. Hello? Yes. Thank
but
you.
But I think they're
screaming about it all year.
I think there's two things that I think we need to differentiate that the Packers did. You know, I think the buffoonishness that Rodgers is talking about, which we're trying to be like, just run the ball, right? And from a generic standpoint,
right.
is one thing, right? But I think actually what you get to is where they got to last week, which is if you look in that game, every other play. So the ratio and the rhythm at which they called the different plays. So in some ways you could look at it like, mm-hmm. hey, Aaron Rodgers wants to run shotgun. So on first down, we're going to run shotgun. On second down, we're going to run under center some type of play. On third down, we're going to run shotgun. On fourth down, we're going to run under center if we get to there, right? And you kind of mm-hmm. saw that in this game as the drives, in every drive, there was, I talked about this on Patreon Happy Hour because it really stuck out at me while we were watching the game, is that they were going from shotgun to under center, shotgun to under center. Now, that did three things. I think it actually wasn't just an Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur thing, which kind of it is, right? It's like the distillation of like
right.
what Matt LaFleur wants to do versus what Aaron Rodgers. But
right.
actually, we've been successful running the ball from shotgun because we had the threat
they
of the throw.
We've had success.
And so right. there is some success. So what I love is that you actually see it and you're like, wow, this is incredible because this is the best of all worlds. And the meaning being, the defense now has to deal with two major formations back to back to back to back to back. So I do think the back to backness of how they called the offense was a big deal. Like right. the rhythm, right? When you talk about rhythm and how they're calling, it's right. like the defense has to deal with this formation, then this formation, then this formation, then this formation. And so it becomes this always they're trying to deal with this. But then there's that third thing, which is like the most optimistic thing for me from that game was that we were down by two scores, and mm-hmm. we continued the offense that we had shown
the
in
ball.
The first half.
Yep.
Like,
agreed.
That's what's
agreed.
Crazy, right? And that's something you haven't seen from the Packers all season, right? You just have
well,
not seen that. You have not seen them
well,
saying, this is going to be our identity.
Season, yeah. Not just this season, though. Like, through Matt's tenure, I would say that's been an issue with his teams, right? They get down a couple scores. We've talked about this on this show. You know, they get down a couple scores. It's the second half. Holy shit, we got to start gunning it because we got to catch up. We got to score right away. You know, that to your point, absolutely. All of a sudden, fourth quarter, you're down two. But they, and it's not even that they stuck with the run, although they did. But they, like you said, they kept running their offense, right? They didn't get outside and try spreading it out. They didn't go five wide. They didn't suddenly revert to like, okay, we gotta do all the spread stuff. Like, they just kept doing what they were doing, and it was pretty
damn
successful.
I think that it's interesting that Aaron Rodgers was upset by how the play calling was the end of the first half. And
second
I do
half,
think there's
end of regulation.
Yeah,
right.
And it, sorry, yeah, it's 100% second half into regulation. Sorry. I do think it's a little bit, I don't know if it's prescient, I don't know what the word is, right? But it's a little bit like mm-hmm. an interesting metaphor for like, yeah, Matt's like, no, we're going to keep this. Now, people in the chat and people on Patreon, and I actually told them, I'm like, okay, yes, Christian Watson. Yes, we threw the ball downfield. Yes, all those things happened. Christian Watson is great. Christian Watson is a shiny object. What we witnessed on Sunday was hopefully the beginning chapter in this team recognizing the offensive capacity that it has that has been underutilizing for the entirety of the season. And
majority of the season.
The only
right.
way
right.
to utilize Christian Watson is to play this kind of offense. Otherwise, we are going to, you know, we're going to revert back yeah. to hero ball. I mean, that's just, you know.
I don't want to see, like, a bunch of spread stuff and asking Christian to like get off press man like 30 times a game. Like that's not the gig. But to your point, Corey, and to I think people getting excited about Christian Watson, I'm all in. I'm with you. I'm fucking so excited for the kid. But I loved this stat from Dusty after the game Monday morning, who, if you haven't checked out my chat with Dusty on Let's Talk Football, I highly recommend you do so. But this is great. Nicholas, if we could show this from Dusty. The Packers were running into an eight-man box 5.3 times per game, averaging 4.1 yards per carry prior to the Cowboys game. And then against the boys, they ran into an eight-man box 18 times, averaging 5.3 yards per carry. The Cowboys knew they were running, took measures to stop it, and they still couldn't. And to your point, Corey, that's what allowed things like the bomb to Christian Watson on third and one to occur, because the Cowboys were so concerned with the running game that they were allowing one-on-ones to happen on the outside. They were trying to commit numbers to stop Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and the run game, and that allowed and basically facilitated the plays, the big plays to Christian Watson. Now, the fourth down play, that's another story. But on the run of play, in those situations, the run game set a lot of that up. And that's what, to your point, they need to keep leaning into. And that's what I've been fucking screaming about all year long.
I also think, and I know we're going to talk about the offensive line next, and the offensive line, the solidifying of the offensive line over the last four to 5 weeks, once they made the change, has been like night and day, right? But there is one other strategic thing that I think cannot be overemphasized here from this game. And it's that the Packers, to me, for the first time this season, were committed to making a first down. Now, what does that mean? It means that I'm not going to take third and two for granted. I'm going to get that fucking 2 yards, and I'm going to use the highest probability plays to get that down in distance. And that's something that you just feel like, especially in London, especially against the Bills, there were many times where the Packers took the actual getting the first down part for granted. And I do feel like hopefully we've turned the corner on that kind of like strategy, right?
Right. And look, yes, but that doesn't preclude, I'm all for taking a strategic shot, which is what they did with Watson.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different, right? If you're second and 10, yeah.
100%.
You got to use plays to throw people off balance.
Taking the shots. I'm all for it. But, when you continuously do it and come up short week after week after week, at some point, you have to, kind of just button it up a little bit, which I think the Packers did. And to your, as you were saying, the offensive line, I just got to give these guys a shout out. I mean, you talk about the game they had against a really good Cowboys front. And yes, guys absolutely made some plays. I mean, I think Elgton Jenkins gave up a really unusual for him sack in a one-on-one. But for the most part, these guys were lights out. You look at that 4th and 7, you look at Rodgers' pocket there. I mean, both tackles have guys just kind of take them both across the around the quarterback, and no problem there. And Aaron has a pocket, a literal pocket, to step up in. And he's able to track Watson across the formation and then steps up and makes the big-time throw for a touchdown. That shit that we couldn't have taken for granted first half of the season. We definitely, last time they were in Lambeau, Aaron Rodgers was running for his life against the Jets, you know? So the offensive line, I thought Josh Myers played really well. That's probably his best game of the year. And no, he's still not great, but he's improving. He's developing, and that's what you like to see. I think Runyon is probably the most taken for granted player on this team, and I'm sure the team recognizes him and things of that nature, but he never gets talked about, which, as an offensive lineman, that's what you like.
You shouldn't,
And Yash is so good. He's so good. This kid is still so young, and he's so good. I this offensive line, finally, it took half a season, but this is the offensive line that we were hoping we'd see coming out of camp. Obviously, we know the injuries played into it big time, but they're finally hitting their stride. They're finally hitting their stride, and that's really, that bodes so well for the second half of the season. And then finally, of course, on offense, you can't have an offensive discussion coming off of this game without talking about Christian Watson, who announced his presence with authority. And I loved it for him more so than anything else because of all the shit I've seen online about this kid, both in the chat during the game, early on when he had the couple drops.
It's ridiculous.
People, you were there. You saw the fucking chat. Like, people were insane. People were out of their mind.
The chat.
I'm not going to anymore. That this game has changed me, Corey. I'm not
I
looking
ignore
at
all
anything.
That. I'll look at I try to chats. Ignore all that
I'll
kind of crap.
I'll look at Carry the G Club. You know what I think I'm going to do from now on? I think I'm going to change the chat. You know how on McAfee they have members only chat?
I know. We don't have enough Carry the G members to do that. I don't think
we
can do that.
We got plenty of Carry the G members. Plenty of Carry the G members. I'm just sick of the riffraff. I'm sick of the people who, like, it's the first quarter. It's the first drive
but you know,
the
as soon as you do that, you know it's going to be a bunch of trolls that get Carry the G, and so they're going to be like, yeah, I need to, I know Nagler hates that, so I'm going to do that.
I'll take their money, man. It's all good. But it's just like, it just pisses me off. Like, and then coming off of his concussion, the shit his mother got online on Twitter, like, man, I just felt so happy for the kid, and I'm really glad that he got off the schneid, so to speak, and he showed what the Packers saw in him when they selected him, when they traded up for him. You know, this is the difference maker he can be, and I just hope he continues. I mean, I'm not expecting 3 touchdowns every game, although it'd be nice, Christian, if you want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to get in the end zone 3 times a game. I mean, man, whatever you want to do, but just so happy for the kid. All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball, shall we? Apparently in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Corey Behnke, run defense is optional. It doesn't matter if it's Mike Pettine. Doesn't matter if it's Joe Barry. No one be wanting to play run defense because we're just going to play with a super soft shell, and we're going to only have 2 down linemen out there, and we're just going to let them run draw plays, and we're just going to, like, you know, go ahead, run the ball. We don't. I mean, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Run defense optional, man. This driving me nuts, man. The fact they went out and got Jerron Reed, who I thought had a good game, actually. You know, and you expected a little bit more of T.J. Slaton. Kenny Clark has had a rough 3 weeks. Kenny Clark has not been himself. I don't know what's
just
going on.
Just crazy to me. That's crazy.
But, man,
to me.
They cannot control anything up front. Anything. I mean, the run defense, it's optional. That's all I can say. At this point in Green Bay, run defense, it's gravy. If you get some run defense, awesome. But don't expect it. It is not on the menu. Good Lord. But you know what is on the menu? Rudy Ford. Rudy Ford,
oh my
baby.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
This kid only knows one speed. I love his game, man. And I thought Billy on Beer and Ball made a great point. I absolutely love this. He's like, and I know a lot of people are saying he's Rasul 2.0. But what is that, right? Like, how do you come in off the street, essentially, right, and make such a big difference right away? And Billy, I thought, nailed it. He said, you know, this guy knows he's got a skill set and he's got something that will get him a job regardless, right? Like, yes. Could he be cut tomorrow? Absolutely. But he knows someone's going to pick him up because he's a really good special teams player. So he's got a niche, right? He's got something that is of value, and he's secure in that. So he's out there playing a million miles an hour because he knows, okay, if I make a mistake, okay, I might make a mistake. But I also might make a big play like he did twice in this game with those interceptions.
Yeah, that was incredible.
And he also flew to the ball carrier. There were like a handful of plays. I want to say there were 2 specific plays. One that where Pollard's coming off the right side, he makes a break on the ball carrier where in the past, if that's Savage, that's probably rupturing to a 15, 20-yard gain, right? Like, he will throw himself at the ball carrier.
I'm getting a
feet.
Beer, by the way.
Guy will make him, as you should. Guy will, you know, make him miss, and then he's off to the races. But with Ford, guy comes screaming out of the secondary, tracks down the ball carrier, arrives in a bad mood, and gets him on the ground. 4-yard gain. That's a monster difference. And it's just the confidence to be able to make that play because you know you're confident in yourself. You've done the study. You've let all the study go, and now you're just going to play. You're just going to go a million miles an hour. And that is a big part of what this defense has been missing. And I love
it's funny because Rudy Ford. Sorry, I know I was treating the show like watch party. I meant to have my second beer ready after rehearsal, but then I failed at that. So that's I was perfect. Like, you know what? Yeah, I need to drink this beer. I'm sorry, people. So I'm sorry about that. But
we all
you called we all Rudy Ford because I was like, what are they going to do if Savage whatever? And you were like, Rudy Ford, he's ready. Right. And it's true.
I mean, just
what about Quay? What about Quay Walker, though? I just want to talk about. I think we should talk about Quay.
He's
Walker,
everywhere.
To me,
he's everywhere.
To me,
he's
to
everywhere.
Me, the only Rashawn Gary redemption we're gonna get this season is going to come because Quay Walker takes it to the next level, and that's
and
it.
I tell
it's
you
like,
what, man. I'm telling you what. Since the Commanders game, this kid has been figuring it out. And again, as I said a little bit ago about. Someone else. It's not like he's arrived. It's not like he's figured it out. It's not like the Matrix, right?
No.
He's not like suddenly seeing the code or anything like that. But, man, that Commanders game was the turning point in the sense of, like, he seems much more confident. And now, obviously, he's being asked to do very different things now because Dre has been out of the lineup. He's been having the communication helmet. But, man, the game seems to have slowed down for him a bit since Washington. Like going into that Washington game. And that's exciting because the kid has all the tools. Talk about,
yeah.
We all know about his speed, but just the diagnosis, being able to find the angles, knowing when to break on things in the passing game. Like, it's so exciting to watch. And what's even more exciting is the sense that when we know they're not going to have Devondre back for Thursday night, right? But if and when Devondre does get back, they can start employing him, to your point. Get him after the passer a little bit more, right? Unleash him a little bit because you don't have Rashawn and you
unleash
you
him
generate
and,
some pressure.
And you got to imagine they're going to unleash him and Jair more. You got to imagine that they're going
I
to
love
do
that.
That they're
idea.
Going
I love
like
that
there's
idea.
Just no yep. How do you have Jair and you don't blitz him? Like how do you have that?
Yep.
The guy has literally shown you that he can freaking
remember,
own anybody you put him on.
Remember how good Charles Woodson was from the slot, getting after the quarterback sack fumbles, things of that nature.
Yep.
Jair could do that. Jair could be that guy if you let him be that guy. Like, let him be that guy, Joe.
Well, and also, the crazy thing about Jair is that the entire offense knows where he is at any time. So you can use him as the ultimate decoy. Like, you can't afford not to know where he is. So you can use him as the ultimate decoy or just to scare quarterbacks. All of a sudden, they see Jair in the slot and they think he's going to blitz and they get scared and they go into blitz. And then you basically made them react to the thing that you know what they're going to react to. You've pulled a reverse Aaron Rodgers on them.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about this game on Thursday night because we all know it is kind of funny. I've noticed a little less this time around because remember back in 2020 when the Titans came on that Sunday night and it was snowing and the week leading up to that game, the Derrick Henry is going to like destroy your women and children drumbeat was like so prevalent. Like the whole week was like, oh, here comes Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's going to kill us. Derrick Henry's going to demolish us. Derrick Henry's going to leave a crater in the size of Green Bay. And then he's going to own like your soul. Like that was it. But this week, I haven't really felt that. Like it hasn't been that. And I think it's because the last time around, Derrick Henry really didn't own that game. Like he got some stuff done. He was a little productive. But he didn't take over that last game. Unfortunately, I'm here to remind everyone that Mike Pettine was the defensive coordinator in that game.
True.
So
I mean,
I'm
but
here
here's the thing,
you that
though.
Derrick Henry
bro.
Is coming for your children on Thursday night.
Here's the thing, though. Aren't they still like 24th in offense?
Oh, they're terrible. No, dude.
Like they suck.
Like 24th makes it sound
so
like they could.
We could literally stack the box and
awful.
Still be able to cover because they suck. You know what I'm saying?
You like to think that, but it doesn't matter.
I feel like
if
we can.
Derrick Henry's ripping off 5 to 8 yards a run. I'm just saying.
That's why you run. You stack the box, and then you just have Jair on their best guy, and you're done.
We just spent the offensive portion of the show talking about how it doesn't matter if you stack the box if you're committed to the run. There are answers to that. I'm just saying, Derrick Henry's coming.
But
in
also, if you get three scores up on them. and then they run the ball.
Now there you go, because that is the key to beating this team. You got to get a lead.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get a lead and take them out of what they're comfortable with. The problem is their defense is really fucking good. Really fucking good. Expect lots of cover three from the Titans. That's their predominant coverage. That is what they like more than anything else. It gives them a lot of flexibility as far as what how they use their corners. And what they do a lot of is showing you too high pre-snap. Like you think it's going to be two-man or cover two or Tampa two, and then they drop one of those safeties down. The other safety goes up. Corners go back, and they're in cover three. They do that a lot. Now, what I expect the Packers to do is run the shit out of the football against.
I was about to say, cover three sounds like running to me. You won't play cover three? Let's go. I just got to pick where your safety drops down, and then I go to the other side.
And what's nice is that if they want to press and they want to like get up on you before they get into that three, that's going to afford you some opportunities. It's going to afford you some opportunities on the perimeter. And hello, Christian Watson. Like, let's go, baby. Let's make it two in a row. Let's do it.
Well, the thing is, Cobb plays in this game, right?
Yes. Yes.
I think the thing is they're going to use Watson as a decoy initially and throw to Cobb underneath like a bunch of times just because, like, why not? Give Cobb some slants, give Cobb some stuff, but make it look like they're going to Watson, right? Make them look like they're blitzing, going to Watson over the top. They have another guy, and that's where Cobb just destroys them. That would be incredible.
Here's why I just want Packers fans to understand. This Titans team has not given up over 17 points in regulation since week three. All right? They're playing really good defense.
How many?
Over 17 points. 17 points.
Wait, no one has scored 17 points on them since week three? Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Over 17. That is correct, sir. That's what I'm saying. Let's get ready for a really frustrating game. It's going to be hard. What? It's going to be a knockdown drag-out fight. So I'm telling you. That's why
Corey, I bet we scored 21.
Why we have these conversations.
We're scoring 21. Let's go. I love it. Let's go.
Packers finally put up a 30 burger for the first time all year, and Corey's like, "We're scoring 21 on these guys. Let's go."
Yeah. I can't believe that. 17 points. That's incredible.
What I'm saying to people, in a league that is set up for the offense to succeed, they have not given up over 17 in regulation since week three, people.
So, Nagler, let me ask you this. Okay? You're not going to want to answer this, okay? And you're going to want to think I'm just trolling you. But in the multiverse, so there is a multiverse that exists, okay?
Of course.
Tomorrow night. Where we lose. I don't, in our multiverse, that's not going to happen, okay? Then in our universe,
Jesus
right?
Jesus Christ, thank you.
But in the multiverse where we lose tomorrow night, are we out of the playoffs? Can someone tell me this? Are we out?
No, not officially, but close.
But like,
they're on life support.
It's pretty bad,
they're
right?
On life support.
But aren't we on life support now, though?
Officially?
Aren't we technically on life support now?
Corey, they're on life support for the rest of the year. Corey, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, so
right
I
now.
Feel like if we lose another game, we're pretty much out. Like, it's bad.
Not
I just want people to, like, come to Jesus a little bit. Because here's the thing. I told people on the Patreon, listen to me, okay? So last week, bro, after this show, I was so over the whole 5-week thing, right? I was just over it, and I was like, I don't want to talk about the Packers. I don't want to do anything. Then I literally spent 30 hours of my life for the next 4 days. I had to leave two parties because motherfuckers who I love, okay? I'm talking about people that I love, right? Friends of mine that I love and I like them as people and they are near and dear to my heart and I will be at their funeral or they'll be at my funeral, whoever dies first, and I love them and I'm never going to let them go. They were depressing the fuck out of me, bro. If I had to listen to one more person talk about all the shit the Packers had been doing for 5 weeks and why we were a terrible team, I wanted to kill myself. I literally announced at a party on Thursday night. I said, I can't hang out anymore at this party because I hate everyone here and I can't talk about the Packers anymore, you guys. I can't do it. I love them and I love you, but we got to take a break. We got to take a little break.
What's great is I know exactly who you're talking about, and I love it. I love everything about this.
And you know, if you would have been around, oh my God, it would have been even worse, because as soon as he sees you, it's like you're like the avatar for the Packers to him, and he'll be like, "What do you think about this? What do you think?" And the funny thing is he wasn't even asking me what I thought, right? At all.
Right.
He was just like, of course. He just needed to vomit, right? And it was just
funny.
He
needed to get it off the chest. And you're a friend, and he's like reaching out. I get it.
Yeah, well, you're the guy that every Packers fan is like, yeah, let me talk to you about the Packers. Five game losing streak.
Dude, I have, okay, you know Laga, my best friend in the whole world, known him forever in my life. He literally said, we were on a phone call the other night, and he goes, we're talking about everything else. And then get towards the end, and he goes, do we want to talk about the Packers? And I was like, nope. And that was it.
And you were like, no, do you want to talk about the Brewers, bro?
I am done. I like, nope. On to the next subject. So you just, Corey, you just need to set boundaries. You need to set some boundaries, you know, in your life.
No, I did. I left. That was my boundary. Yeah. I was like, bye-bye. I'm bye-bye. I go bye-bye. I'm going to go by myself now and not think about this as I look at Lambeau Field. See, the funny thing is looking at Lambeau Field makes me happy, even when we lose, right? Because Lambeau Field doesn't talk back to me. You know, they're not like, hey, they're so depressed. It's like, no. It's like Lambeau Field. I am this beautiful thing that has been here for decades, and I will be here for decades more. I'm a beacon of light for the U.S.
Light beacon.
That's true.
100%.
That's true. Lambeau Field is like... Lambeau Field, yeah, it's like Gondor, bro. It's like Gondor. It's like Rivendell, actually. It's like Rivendell. It's more Rivendell than Gondor. Right. I'm just going to be honest with you about that.
100%. Yeah, no, of course, but it's a beacon of hope, right? Like, yes. There's going to be another game. There's going to be another game. No matter what happens, there's going to be another game. That's it. It's a beacon of hope. All right, Nicholas, let's hit it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, you may think that this was just another instance of the Green Bay Packers shellacking the Dallas Cowboys, which, of course, it was. But this was a very, very, very important game. A tide-turning game, if you will, and we have one gentleman to thank for that. It's not Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
It's not Matt LaFleur.
Nope.
It's not Kenny Clark. It's nobody who was on the field on Sunday.
Nope.
It is one Big B. That's right. This was
Big B.
The Big B game. The Big B game.
It really was. It was the Big B weekend, to be honest with you.
The Big B weekend, the Big B game. You see it there. Look at this. I mean, my God, what a great graphic. Hey, shout out to Nate Temple for putting that together. Big B, as some of you may know, Patreon members probably obviously know, but you've heard me, if you're on Packers Daily, you've heard me yell out, Big B is here. Big B legit came up to me at training camp years ago and asked me to sign a football. And I was like, and it had all these other like player signatures on it. And I was like, "What? You don't want my signature on this. Like, it'll ruin the value of the football."
When was that? I forgot.
Years ago. I mean, I'm talking like 5, 6 years ago. And Big B is the man. He's the myth. He's a legend. Some of you may not know, he is a Make-A-Wish kid. And he, because of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, got to visit
the
Green
Bay
Packers.
By the way, because he had cancer, yeah.
Absolutely. And... not only did Big B have, like, the most amazing weekend ever, he turned the Packers season around. I mean, take a look at this shot
Pretty
of
much.
Him breaking down the huddle. He got to break down the huddle at practice. There you see him. Look at his little hat there. Look at him breaking down the huddle.
That was Saturday, yep.
Look at that. Come on. Are you kidding me? And then here is Big B with Aaron Rodgers, with the Super Bowl trophy that Rodgers helped bring to Lombardi. Come on now. Let's go.
That's incredible.
Big B.
I mean, think about it. How many people have been in the same room with Aaron Rodgers with that trophy? Not many.
I mean, not too many.
Less than 100. Maybe 200. Maybe less.
The list is small. How many of them have a picture with Aaron Rodgers with the trophy he helped bring back to Green Bay? Not too many.
Not a lot.
Big B, you're an absolute legend. Thank you for helping turn the season around. We obviously appreciate it. Because without you, who knows? Who knows, man? Who knows?
He's also, to truth be told, I got to meet Big B's family this weekend. That was really fun to meet his grandmother and his mom. That was freaking awesome. And, you know, he's going to take Tyler's job, I think, pretty soon. He was much better body man than Tyler for me. Like, everywhere I looked, like, Tyler's supposed to be my body man at the Resch Center, right? And, like, Tyler, like, right. I have to be like, Tyler, are you going to record this? Like, hey, are you going to take this picture with the fan? And Big B was, like, on top of stuff. He was like, he's got a future. This kid's got a future.
We always say, underage Packers, if you do not listen to Underage Packers, if you don't follow them on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to their channel. Underage Packers, Big B, Joey, they do a great job. And as we have said for a very long time, they're going to take all our jobs. So we'll all.
They're going to buy Cheesehead. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to buy Cheesehead TV, and then we're going to become the Stanton and Waldorf for underage Packers. We'll be like the OK Boomers show.
We're going to be. I think we're already there.
It'll literally be called OK Boomer. It'll be called OK Boomer, but okay, we're Gen Boomer. X. And we'll just be like, wait a second. We're Gen X, bro.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I have never felt older and less in touch with what's going on than after I watched this next video, because this is so good and this is exactly what highlights should be. Like SportsCenter is so 20 years ago. SportsCenter is 20 years ago, right? Like when you and I were coming up, like that was the standard. This is the new standard because this from Trap House Sports. I've run into this guy's stuff sometimes on TikTok, just scrolling and it comes up and like they're always really good. This guy is really talented and funny and whatever. But he's a Cowboys fan and he made a video about this Packers game and I could not. I was legit crying laughing on the subway last night when I saw it on my Twitter feed. I was dying. Roll it.
Well, I'll be damned. We got Perk Rogers locked, loaded, ready to go. He didn't say nothing motivational to his team. All he said was, don't embarrass me out here. The game starts off in perfect favor for the Cowboys. We get on the board early with a touchdown. I ain't gonna lie, I was excited, but I immediately got flabbergasted when I saw this. What the fuck, CeeDee Lamb? Like I said, the game started off amazing for a Cowboys fan. We got Perk Rogers back there getting hornswoggled in that pocket. He was getting treated the way he be treating his Perk withdrawals and smothering them. Well, I'll be damned. It's the Cowboys just talking about the two good things cannot happen in a row. We got Dak fucking Prescott throwing picks. Did I miss a trend? Did I miss a fucking hashtag? Is everybody trying to do the Russell Wilson challenge or something? Why the fuck do the Cowboys defense decide to play bad against Aaron Rodgers? Look at this motherfucker. He, bro, think he Duke Dennis. You not Duke Dennis? And I'm sorry for the yelling. I'm a little bit flabbergasted, but fuck! Dak Prescott in the press in his last name stand for depressed Cowboys fan. Almost ran out of fucking metaphors trying to watch this game. We got dots of the ops, beams to the wrong, to all types of shit going on. I know good. Did he just hit the Marshawn Lynch? What the fuck? Nah, because why does this shit happen against my team? The Packers been looking like a JV middle school squad the whole season. They play against the Cowboys and all of a sudden they look like a fucking contender. It's all good. They force us to punt. We kick the ball off to them and goddamn, a shitting of the bucket has occurred. Gave that ball right back. They said they want to see what Dak Prescott can do. Look at the ref. Ref got the shiesty on. He acting different. Coach finally said, we're tired of seeing Dak throw the ball. We're going to start running it. We got Tony Pollard sneaking in for the touchdown. Aw, shit, the Cowboys streaking a little bit. We got Dak with another bomb to CeeDee's nuts. I'm sorry. I meant CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, what the fuck you got going on, bro? You out here acting like Young Thug a little bit. Bro, I heard kind of acting like Jeffrey. He trying to fill the void with a Thug being in jail. Free slime. Well, I'd be damned if it's one thing about a Cowboy secondary, these bitches gonna get burnt. Cowboy secondary getting burnt worse than Charlie Sheen. Cowboy secondary getting burnt worse than Cat Stacks. Cowboy secondary getting burnt worse than Magic Johnson. Here we got Captain Perk 30 with this absolute fucking laser to the end zone. We got him, he light skinned. He trying to do the Stephen Curry celebration. The 1, 2, 3, 4, shut the fuck up. Oh shit, we got the game on the line. Dak Prescott has the ball. What does he do? He throws it to a blade of grass. He throws it to the environment. He throws it to nature. Well, I be damned. Look at that secondary wide open. That secondary wide open like Pinky in 2008. Hey yo, Perk Rogers, calm your old ass down, bro. You 63. You too old to be acting like this. Sit the fuck down. He took downers at the beginning of the game, but he off them uppers now. Just like that. Game over. Overtime field goal by George Bush. Why is it always the Packers, bro? Why can't we never beat the fucking Packers? I'm sick of this.
You know what the best part of that whole thing is? And, like, all of it is so brilliant.
Throws it to a blade of grass or kicks, like, George Bush.
The overtime kick by George Bush is great. The throws it to nature. It's all great.
Kick by George Bush.
It's all so great. The frustration that comes out because they can't beat the Packers is exactly where I was in the 90s. When the Packers couldn't beat the Cowboys. Like, it's so great. It's so crazy. Great.
Bro, do you remember? Great. Oh, my God. That NFC Central, it was an NFC divisional playoff game. We've talked about it on Packer Transplants like 4 or 5 times where I was with my dad at a bar and there was this Cowboys fan and she was so fucking annoying that, like, everybody in the bar wanted to kill her and, like, bury her body. Like, seriously. Like, and I don't say that about people, but it was just, like, serious. Everybody was throwing her daggers, like, the whole time.
Oh my God.
The Cowboys, man, like, that's the thing. Kids these days, they don't realize, like, they had their hand on our neck. And they just would never let go. It was like, you know, when you're bigger than your little brother, your little cousin, or your little sister, and you do the stiff arm and they can't do shit. Yep. That's how the Cowboys were for us. That's what – it was so crazy, like, all the hate I got from the Mike McCarthy, like, is the enemy. Because it's like there is no soul
Cowboys
in my being.
Right.
Like, my 20-year-old and 30-year-old self is so mad at me because I wasn't more militant about my feelings, okay? You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. I feel you, man. I totally feel you. That's what I mean. Like,
and as soon as people say Cowboys... America's team, that's triggering to me because I'm like, more America, okay? What's more America to you, okay? America, choose between these two things, okay? You have a choice of... a community-owned team that was started in 1919 by the smallest fucking television market in the history of the world that couldn't survive for 50 years, then finally figured out a way, then ended up winning 13, technically 14 world championships, and has found their way into the hearts and minds of multiple millions of people, considering the town that they're from has 100,000 people. Or a billionaire owner who has basically decided revenue sharing is bad and the salary cap is bad and I'm going to make billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars and get away with all this kind of stuff and nothing happened to me and I'm just going to, like, take over the world and eat the world. That's America's team? What's more America? I mean, if you're a cynic, I guess the biggest America is the Dallas Cowboys, honestly. They're the most capitalistic team in the history of the earth. But I would say that the Green Bay Packers are more America's team. They just don't have the money for it, which is very America's team, by the way.
Well, it's
the person who has the marketing dollars and the ad agencies to push the term America's team becomes America's team, and actually America's team is not America's team.
No, that's correct. The Green Bay Packers are not only – what's so funny is, like, that trip to London – really solidified for me anyway that the Packers are the world's team. Like, it's, like, not even close.
Yeah.
You talk about the fervor and the dedication and the following. I mean, look at that stadium. Look at the fact that there were, like, a fucking 100,000 Packers fans chanting, "Go Pack, go."
No other team is getting that. No other team in the world is getting that. Yep. There are Premier League teams that might get that, but no other NFL team. Yeah.
Not an NFL team, no, hell no. And, like, the fact that we went to our meetup on that Friday, like, all the people that showed up, that was insanity. You know, the
hundreds
Packers
of people,
just a different breed. All right, it's time to talk. Speaking of Packers fans, time to hear from some Packers fans here on the YouTube channel. What have people got?
I'm on my remote desktop panel. Give me a second. We got Ryan Willie. Thanks for super chat. No more hero ball. Run the ball 60-40. Tire the Titans D out. Okay, 60.
There
I think you
go.
Mean 60-40 ratio.
Like,
by the way, I think he's talking about the ratio there.
Okay.
Thanks, Ryan,
run
for super chat.
Pass. I'm down.
Scotland Belk the second. Appreciate the stream. Appreciate you, Scotland Belk the second. Appreciate you give the super chat.
Thank you. Thanks so much for picking it out, man.
Dave. We got three from Dave. Dave, a fully realized 9-87 will be deadly. 100%, Dave.
It will be. I don't know when Dobbs will be back, probably in like 3 or 4 weeks yet.
Yeah. Sorry to I would love to see a tunnel screen for 33. Tunnel screen.
I'm all in on that.
Did we see one this year?
Not a strict tunnel screen, but I love that idea. They've done some of that throughout Matt's tenure. It's not something they've leaned on, but man, I love it because usually what they like to do is do that thing where they run people off and then bring him underneath on the slant. But I'd love to see him on a dedicated tunnel. That'd be great.
Then one last one from Dave. Dave, I refuse to bridle my optimism. And why should you, Dave?
Why would you?
I don't bridle my optimism.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
100%. I would rather be optimistic. And I don't know. I know people want low expectations so that they can like be pleasantly surprised.
Be excited and happy. that's me.
Yeah. That's how Overshadow Sean. Thanks for the super chat. Big B is the man. Well,
yes,
he's a kid,
he is.
But he is the man.
Yeah, but he's the man, and he turned the season around, so he's the man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't think he's a man yet, but he's getting there. He's well on his way. He's well. He is the man, right? But, yeah.
Correct.
And we got Big B. Big B, why are you giving us super chats, goddammit? It just makes me annoyed. Aaron, have you asked for Big B's autograph? Yeah, Aaron, have you? I haven't.
Not yet. I most certainly will now that he's turned the season around, though. No doubt.
I probably should. I should probably get Big B to sign something. Maybe Big B should sign the ball that he got and then keep it at the Lambeau house. How about that?
There you go.
I like it.
You just want
Big
the ball.
B with the super chat. Appreciate you all. By the way, I will be your bodyguard, Corey. Just pay me in Dr. Pepper. Okay, I'm down with that. I'm guaranteed he's going to be better. Well, I don't know. Joey might have some things to say about whether he's going to be better than Tyler.
Wait a second. You know what? I just realized
he might be trying
really
to get the job.
Wait a second.
What happened?
Wait a second. What happened? We didn't really address this. So the other thing that happened while Big B was in town was Big B apparently told LaFleur, you should run the ball more. Like, literally, oh, yeah. Those words escaped his lips.
And then blamed it on
now,
you. That was what's funny.
Then he blamed it on me. And literally, LaFleur texted me and said, because I said the kid, I did not tell that kid to say anything. And then LaFleur texted me and said, that's not what the kid said. So, look, now I'm in trouble. And then then later on, he's at the breakfast or lunch table with Rogers. And LaFleur goes over to Rogers and says, do you tell him what you told me? And then Big B proceeds to say, well, yeah, you know, apparently Nagler said you should run the ball more. And then Rogers says.
Yeah, what did Rogers say?
We are in the wrong profession if we are letting these buffoons tell us what to do. And I'll just say.
But the best part.
You finally ran the ball and you won.
But the best part about that, that I love the most selfishly is the fact that he pluralized that because that puts me in the mix, bro. Like if he would have been like, you're listening to that buffoon, it would have been 100% you, right? But the fact that he put an S on it, like I'm just like, Aaron Rodgers called me a buffoon? Aaron Rodgers called me something. I mean, something. That's incredible.
That's amazing.
I'm so proud of that. I'm so like, Aaron Rodgers knows who we are. That just proved it, basically proved it. That's incredible. Big B proved that Aaron Rodgers has watched the show. That's how I get to there. That's
okay.
A fine
right.
Thread.
Slow down. By the way,
he's seen
I'm 100%.
Clips. He's seen some clips, okay? There's no doubt. By saying
kid.
Buffoons,
he
he's seen some clips.
Seen
he's seen
kid.
Some TikToks, bro. Aaron Rodgers follows us on TikTok, okay? I'm just going to put that out there right now. Come on.
Hey, by the way, did you hear at his locker? He said it's going to be sooner rather than later, he's going to be off social media. He's prepping.
Damn.
He's prepping for a post-social media life. Very exciting. Anyway, sorry. I can't believe it. I was going to say that during the Blogosphere segment, but I totally forgot. Anyway.
Oh, we have another super chat. Mike Rode, Packer Transplants 245. The buffoons are back.
There you go.
You know what's funny is? You know what's really funny? And it's part of this whole thing is like, Today, everybody was saying how great dipshit from Minnesota is. What's his name? The freaking
Paul
PA
Allen.
Announcer?
Paul Allen.
Paul Allen. Fucking
Paul Allen.
Trash.
Right.
Trash announcer. Anyway, so everybody, including Albert Breer, is like, oh, he's so good at his job. And I was like, I literally put this tweet out. And it was funny because there were some people that were collateral damage that apparently said he was good. But then it was funny because a couple people were like, yeah, he's a buffoon. And then I literally thought to myself, I was like, yeah, he is. And then I was like, wait,
I'm a buffoon.
I was like, oh, shit. Wow, I'm Paul Allen. Like
the worst
Paul
was...
Allen is a buffoon. Aaron Rodgers thinks I'm a buffoon, so therefore the equation is I'm a buffoon, and now therefore I am Paul Allen.
Oh God!
Wow.
No.
That
the
blew
worst
my
was when
mind.
The Matrix. No, the worst was when Zach Cruz said that. Like he equated it to like, well, this would be like if Aaron was calling the game. Because all I could think about was how...
Bro, you would be way better than Paul Allen. I'm just telling you
right now. No, but all I could think about was like the Packers not wanting me on the post game. Like the fact that the Packers don't want me on 97.3 is the post game. It's like, I just once, let me in the booth with Wayne and Larry. Just one time. And let me show that I'm better than Paul.
What you can do.
That's all I want.
Well, that's the thing.
All I
like
want.
My problem, and not to make this a Paul Allen diatribe, but it's
I
like
know
and people are like
Paul Allen does no ball. I know ball.
But that's the thing. Like Paul Allen is just like even like you can take two approaches to it, right? You can know football or you can be a good play-by-play guy, right? So like as we've done watch party more and more, I focus on trying to be a good play-by-play guy because you're really the color guy because you bring the football knowledge stuff, right? So it's like, but he has chosen neither path in this scenario. So he's neither a good play-by-play person or bring anything to the colorimetry of, like, the game.
Right.
So he's basically the worst of all worlds. He's as if I was just screaming all the time. I mean, it's just like nobody wants that. He sucks.
You know what they want, though? You know what they want? They want to support Cheesehead TV. And we got to give a shout-out to Patreon members around the world. Don't forget, Patreon members and Carry the G Club members. The meetup is next month. That's right, December 18th, the day before the Rams game. That's Sunday. Be there. And if you want to join, become a Patreon member. Or become a Carry the G Club member. Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. If you're on the desktop version, just hit the join button. You get special emojis. You get access to the happy hour. You can join us for the meetup. It's going to be a lot of fun. Corey, you got anything else for the fine folks out there?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out on the Nicholas Bowling Show, which is already a funny username. He just put, boys, I just wanted to say I thoroughly enjoyed the stream on Sunday. That was something magically. Sorry. Broke, can't do a super chat. Just wanted to read his chat. The Nicholas Bowling Show, appreciate you watching the stream and appreciate everybody watching Watch Party. This year's been pretty incredible considering we're in a post-pandemic phase and we've had like really great viewership for Watch Party. Nagler and I we had to be convinced by Tyler to keep doing it, to be honest with you, because I really want to watch the game and I love watching it with Nagler, but it's like I really do want to watch the game, but I'll be honest with you. It's been meeting people at the Resch Center, meeting people in London, meeting people at the Milwaukee meetup that we had for Carry the G, where, you know, so many people said that, like, hey, I'm alone by myself and I don't have a lot of Packer fans in this town that I live in or whatever. And you guys make me 100% feel like I'm watching it with my buddies. And so that, like, it's so funny because that's hit a nerve for me this year that I don't think I really had because it was selfish before of like, yeah, I like watching the game with Nagler. Yeah, this is kind of a funny little novel thing. And it didn't realize that it had become this thing where people were like, no, you don't understand. Like, my son and I used to watch the Packers game together, and now my son, he graduated college, and he lives in name a town in the U.S., and we don't get to watch it together, but we watch the YouTube of you guys, and then we're on. And so it's just like you don't realize the connection that you have with people, I think, sometimes because we're all digital. And so it's actually an incredibly powerful thing that technology allows us to do.
Dude, and that's why the meetup in London was so powerful. And that's why, like, meeting people, I mean, I was there for the unfortunately, for the Jets game. But like the pregame thing at the rec center, that's why it's so amazing. Like the hearing from people and hearing exactly what you're talking about. Like folks who say, like, I don't have any Packers fans anywhere where I live, and I watch with you guys every week.
Yeah.
To your point, I told you, like, I think it was like last spring, I was like, let's just do the big games. Like, let's do, if there's a primetime game, let's do a watch party for that. And you and Tyler both were like, let's do the games and let's do them all. And people are into this. And I'm really glad that we do it, because to your point, the stories, the messages, I had a gentleman, I'm not going to say his name, I don't want to put that all that out there, but I had a gentleman email me the other day who was like, I can't tell you what it means that you guys are watching the game as though you're with us. And that's the thing. Like, we're all just hanging out, right? And yeah, we'll yell and we'll like fucking get nuts and maybe go a little overboard sometimes, but that's what you do, right? You're watching football. So, and I just love that people appreciate it. It's amazing to me. It's amazing. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.